Welcome to another round of Drawing Board or Miro Board. Today we discuss technical diagramming with systems architect Maya. Let's go. First question. You've spent 10 hours slogging over a sequence diagram that should have taken 5. Drawing Board or Miro Board?
Drawing Board. And if I'm being honest, Miro would probably cut that time down by half. You know, with its AI tools and ready-to-go templates.
Next, your diagrams become so bulky, it's more complex than the solar system. But all it takes is a few clicks and...
It's Miro. I've used those technical shape packs way too many times, and stuff is just digestible on its infinite online canvas.
Now, the final question. Everyone's brought in, but you have to make all these tasks all the way over in Jira. But wait, it's done. Is it...
Miro, easy with its two-way Jira sync. Easy to plot dependencies. Everyone always knows what's up.
And she's done it.
Join over 60 million people creating technical diagrams without workflow glitches. Get your first 3 boards for free at Miro.com. That's M-I-R-O.com.
As humans, we're naturally driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. When I was looking to hire someone, it was so slow and overwhelming. I wish I had used Indeed. If you need to hire, you need Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform, with over 350 million global monthly visitors according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. And Indeed doesn't just help you hire faster. 93% of employers agree Indeed delivers the highest quality matches compared to other job sites, according to a recent Indeed survey. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/podcast. That's Indeed.com/podcast. Terms and conditions apply.
Hey folks, this is Jason Lewis, the producer of the From the Shadows podcast. I just want to remind you about our website, FromTheShadowsPodcast.com. We have a Facebook page. We would appreciate it if you like and follow. Also, join our discussion group on Facebook called After the Shadows. We have a Twitter feed. Please follow us on Twitter. It can be found with @podcast_from. Follow us on Instagram at From the Shadows Podcast. We have a YouTube channel. Go to the search bar of YouTube and put From the Shadows Podcast, and please subscribe to that channel. We are also on the Odyssey Radio Network, and we can be found there at odyssey1.com. We're still on the traditional podcatchers that everybody loves to listen to us on. We get a lot of feedback, so please rate the podcast and communicate with whether you're on Spotify, Stitcher, TuneIn, Apple Podcasts, Podbean, or Google Podcasts. We're there, and we appreciate it when you leave comments for us. We also have a Patreon page. It can be found at www.patreon.com/from the shadows. You can receive books, stickers, coffee mugs, and special content just for our Patreon subscribers. Check it out for yourself and see what packages that we have to offer. Well, that's all I have for you right now, folks, and thanks for being a part of the From the Shadows podcast family. So with that being said, let's get this episode started.
So, Howler, how was your weekend? Pretty good?
It's still going on.
It's still going on.
Yeah, I think so. I think it's pretty good.
Well, I know you're down there in the Ozarks and you don't know lay of the land up here in Ohio so much, but I got to go to a pretty cool island today. Called Kelly's Island. I think it's probably one of the biggest islands in fresh water in the world, I think.
Serious?
Yeah, I think so.
Well, you can Google it up, I suppose. Anyway, what's so cool about it?
It's just a cool island. It's not a huge party place. It's kind of like a little laid back island or whatever. We used to go there when I was a kid. And the thing I noticed was, I saw a couple deer, and And we got to talking about it, and the guy that we were there said that wasn't as a couple years ago. Now, I couldn't verify the story, but that poachers illegally, of course, that goes hand in hand with poaching, got like 300 deer off the island, and before they got caught, and the deer population is been decimated, so to speak. But then again, you know, how long is it going to take those deer without people really hunting them to?
Well, I mean, when did they supposedly, the poachers supposedly do it?
I don't know. Like I said, I couldn't verify the story.
Maybe at the turn of the century, but I mean, my
no,
gosh,
just a couple years, just a couple years, just
I
a couple
would say
years
it
ago.
Was, if it's like the deer, you know, I've it's probably the poachers were government sharpshooters. You know, they hire them down here at Lake Ozark Village of Four Seasons. I shouldn't even say that. Every few years to thin them out. They come in there with, they start baiting them for about 2 weeks, and they come in there with silencers and take a bunch of them out because
there's just too many.
It's too many. I mean, it's got a browse line. It's crazy. In my old job, I was assigned to some old government installations. Most of them got real big high fences to keep people out, not to keep the deer in, but to keep people out. One of them I was assigned to in New Jersey is about 3,600 acres. And it was an old World War II naval air station. So they always said there was could be unexploded ordnance out there, which I don't know about that, but whatever. And yes, they had a contract come in there. Prior to 9/11, they would open it up to bow hunting. So they would have X amount of bow hunters per acre or whatever, and they could take a safety test and come out there and shoot them. But after 9/11, the government said, nope, we're doing some, you know, some of them terrorists might disguise themselves as bow hunters and take the safety test and infiltrate the site. Oh, so there'll be no hunting. Well, what happened is there's so many deer a few years later, they do like everything. They get a big government contract, and the contractors went out there and shot them in the middle of the night and buried them with a backhoe. But you're not supposed to talk about that.
Okay, well, we won't talk about that.
Because the ones that are sharpshooters around here where I live now, they go through, they get processed, and the food is donated to food pantries or homeless shelters or whatnot, you know?
Yeah, yeah, yeah. The story was these poachers were taking the deer, and they I don't know how much they were getting per deer for the meat. But it must have been a substantial amount because it sounded like they got in pretty big trouble. Although, like I said, I'm going to try to do some research and verify the story because it seems seems unbelievable that somebody could go into this island and just, like, you can only get there by ferry.
That's what I mean. You know? Did they sneak in there in a boat or canoe?
No, they just went over as regular. And just went in and poached these deer and then either took them back on a trailer or, you know, in a box truck or who knows. I mean, we got off the ferry this morning, and there was a semi cement mixer getting ready to get back on the ferry to go back to the mainland. So he had already been there this morning. So all kinds of stuff are going over on that ferry. So, I mean, how many dead deer could you throw in the back of a cement mixer? If that was
I guess, it just depends. Was DOT going to weigh them, or did they just get to take it?
I don't know. That's
a joke. I don't know. I'm trying to figure this thing out because, 3,000 acres. You know what's funny? I think I got some pictures of this. I used to fly a lot. And when you fly out of Minneapolis to, I think, Hartford and maybe New York, you go straight. When you're flying commercial like that, they fly like Minneapolis to Milwaukee to over what we call Cleveland Center, Cleveland, and then Cleveland to, you know what I mean? You get handed off. And it's right here by Sandusky, isn't it? Power plant.
Yeah, it's right next to Putnam.
Yeah, I used to, when I'd sit by the window, I'd always look out and just gawk, you know. I killed a big deer this last week.
Oh yeah?
Yeah, oh yeah. Oh yeah.
Well, it sounds like it might be an interesting story.
Well, I killed him with my truck. And
you didn't get to tag him? Well, as a matter of speaking,
I tagged him with my her. It was a her. You know what's funny is I was driving up the highway, and I passed. You know, all this stuff happens so fast. Your brain processes all this stuff. I passed this square body truck stop, and your listeners know square body Chevys will know what I'm talking about. But my brother had been hot rodding around all weekend in an old Chevy short bed, and I thought maybe it was him. So I was looking in my rear view mirror, my side view mirror, picking up my phone to call him. There was a square body truck parked on the road with a hood up, and it was in the morning, and I thought, is that my brother broke down? And I was going to call him to do two things. Gloat, because he had been hot rodding all weekend, and ask him if he needed help. And as I was doing all that, I was looking in my side mirror. There was a car beside me, right about my bedside. There's the new, they put wires, those big cables up the median everywhere here. You know what I'm talking about?
And
I'm looking at my, and I always wear a Bluetooth headset, but I still need to dial my phone, right? So I got phone, side view mirror, rear view mirror, brother, all the stuff going on. I look up, and about the time I seen her, I hit her. I think I hit the brakes a little bit, but not for sure much. But I vividly remember her ear was over the top of my hood. Like she was trying, I think what she was trying to do is jump over that wire. You know?
Oh, I got you. Yeah.
And
yeah.
Instantly, I felt like, you know, if you watch any of the World War II plane movies or some of them, when the plane takes damage, it gets a, you know, when the Luftwaffe shoots your radiator out, you immediately get residue on your windscreen. I immediately had stuff on my window, my windshield. And I thought, is that
guts, brains?
Well, it wasn't guts, but I was hoping it was guts, but then I thought, why moisture? I immediately thought radiator. I pulled over to the side. I looked around, walked down my truck, and my truck's bleeding out right there on the highway. She's bleeding out. So I jump in, and I told you I had my Bluetooth in and my phone in my hand. I was talking to a friend of mine, but I was about to put him on hold so I could see if that was called my brother. And they go, what was that? I said, dude, I just hit this deer that hard. I said, yes. So I said, I got to call you back. And right up the road, about 3/4 mile, is a Dollar General store. So I jump back in. I mean, this truck is leaking. Right. So I jumped in it and took off before I, you know what I mean? And I got almost, so I got to make a left-hand turn. So as I'm ramping, my low coolant light comes on. I drive it to it's a 2002 GMC 2500 HD, just an old Chevy truck, a GMC truck. But my low coolant light starts coming. So I whipped into this Dollar General. And I backed into this spot in an open parking lot. So imagine a giant parking lot, and I'm in the first spot, and there's 25 spots beside me.
Yep.
There's the store.
Only one there. You're trying
The only other person in the parking lot. The only other person in the parking lot is a fat gal chain smoking cigarettes out by the ice machine. And I jump out, and she goes, did you hit a deer? And I wanted to say, no, I was a possum, armadillo, them Texas armadillos. Of course I hit a deer, lady. I said, hey, I'm going to call a tow truck. Can I just sit here for a second? And she goes, yeah. And I walked in.
It'd have been classic if you'd have said, no, I hit, he was about six, is some guy. He was about 6'2".
Yeah, I wanted to know, it was a homeless dude down there, but the damn grocery cart he was pushing broke my radiator. So then I walked in, I bought a Pepsi and a king-size Kit Kat. Hold on. I open my phone. I text my brother and say, what's so-and-so's? I forgot about him broke down. We know a guy I went to high school with, his son has a tow truck, you know, several tow trucks, got a tow operation. And I texted my brother to say, hey, where's so-and-so's? I'll just say it, Tobin. Where's Tobin's number? And as he, I'm waiting for him to call me back, text me back, and then I look at my thing and I realize I've got this kid's number from last year when my transmission in my other old Chevy truck started acting up. So I called this dude. I said, hey, come down and pick me up, blah, blah, blah. Okay, what are you driving? You know, I hang up. She's on her third cigarette watching me. Now, she's the only employee working at the store because she's got to follow me back in so I can get my Pepsi, my Kit Kat. She starts telling me about all the deer hit on the road. So then I walk out, and County Mountie's rolling up in a half-marked Ford Explorer. And he's looking at my, and by this time, all, the rest of the antifreeze I had in my truck is on the ground, right? And he said, you having some trouble? And I said, yeah, I just, my radiator's busted. He goes, you hit a deer? And I said, yeah. And he said, is it off the road? And I said, well, I think. So I sat in there with my Pepsi and my Kit Kat, and I watched this cop talk to this, now she's back outside smoking again. So I watch her smoke, I don't know how many cigarettes, but then, now, remember, I'm the only two vehicles, three vehicles in the parking lot, and mine is in the first one, the cop car is way up by the door, and the employee's car is around the building on the other side. You tracking with me? Go so ahead. There's a giant parking lot on what is considered the outer road, but used to be the old U.S. Highway 54. Now, I only put that in there that it's got two 10-foot concrete lanes and 10 to 12-foot shoulders, okay, that bleed into this parking lot. Across the street is a Baptist church with about 3 acres of gravel and concrete, depending on where you're at, okay? So, you know, Chester Nimitz could put a battleship in between this thing and not touch a building. And lo and behold, a delivery truck shows up to deliver to Dollar General. Now, I'm sitting there contemplating all my life choices and this dead deer and the antifreeze and whether I should have just tried to drive all the way to town because there just ain't enough Kit Kat to sit out there and watch this cop. Now, they're still outside. I'm thinking, my God, was there a money drop or what went on? And no, just a cop out there courting this gal. I once, hey, buddy, you can't afford her. You can't afford her cigarette habit on the county salary. So they're about $8 a pack, buddy. And so this professional OTR, over-the-road truck driver, wheels in there. And he ain't even got a full-size 18-wheeler. He's got a single-axle tractor. Okay?
Okay.
And he makes a right-hand turn into this parking lot and almost takes what's left of the front bumper off of my GMC pickup. And he pulls up parallel to the side of that dollar, and he cuts his wheel as hard as he can, and he's trying to, what he's trying to do is back up to the back door of this thing, right? But he can't do it because he, you know, it's like parallel parking. He can't do it because he pulled nose in first, you know?
Oh, of course, yeah.
And I watch this guy struggle. And I watch that, you know, and it's a clutch tractor. It's not, you know, a lot of new ones are automatic, but it's a clutch. I'm watching that cab twist and turn as he's manipulating the clutch and the steering wheel and back and forth. And the only thing he keeps doing is getting closer and closer and closer to my pickup. My pickup that's got no radiator fluid in it. And I say to myself, dude, you should have asked me. I would have moved, and now I can't even move because you got me blocked in. And the other thing is, the smart money would have made a big giant U-turn in all that old U.S. highway, you know, 10-foot, 10-foot, two 12-foot shoulders and 3 acres of Baptist that's got to be blessed. Nobody would have came if you just cut that thing around in the church parking lot and backed it right in there. Okay. But, you know, there's a truck driver shortage, so I'm sure that the hiring standards have been reduced to whoever can get us there. You know what I'm saying? So finally, he jumps out of this tractor. Now, the whole time, cigarette girl smoking, and the fat deputy, I wasn't going to say fat, but the deputy is looking. Now, watching
wouldn't, he hold the bottle. Wouldn't he have to be? He'd have to be, right? I mean, I'm just throwing it out there.
You know, I knock on wood, I wasn't going to say he's a big boy, okay? He was, you know what he looked like, but he was friendly, you know what I mean? Almost like, you know how draft horses are always friendly, or sometimes you get big, goofy-looking dogs are always friendly, you know what I mean? Like Clifford or Big Red Dog or something like that.
Yeah.
He was so big, he had to be friendly. That's what I, you know what I mean? That's what I'm saying. He was so big, he had to be friendly. And truck driver comes walking around and says, "Hey, buddy, can you move that truck?" And I said, "Now there's blood and deer meat. I've got an apparatus on my truck. People think it's a snowplow mount, but it's not. It's a mount to pull it behind an RV. Okay, so it's got these up where the tow hooks are, but they're draped with red flesh of the mammal. You know what I mean? And it ain't even dry. The turn signal is laid out like a gouged out eye in the new James Bond movie. And you know, I got the left turn signal is dangling out there. Okay, the bumper I use can't even. Yeah, it's junk. But you know what I do, because I'm a doer. Okay, I said you bet, and I fired that thing up dry block, and I drove right out to the middle of that 3-acre Baptist parking lot and shut it off about the time my wrecker pulled in there. Same time, my big flatbed tow truck guy. And wasn't that terrible? And he still couldn't jack around. That extra 6-10 foot that I clogged up there, he still couldn't get that tractor around, because he didn't get the concept that he needed to start backing in first, not pulling in. You know, he needed to back from the street, not pull into the parking lot and try to back in and stay in beside the curb. Does that make sense?
Oh, absolutely. Yes. Yeah.
So I load this truck up, and that's when I found out that there was no radiators available for it.
Oh, jeez.
Okay. Had it been a half ton, it's a 8100 is what the techs call it, 8.1. It's an 8.1 liter gasoline V8 with an Allison automatic transmission. They didn't make a lot of them, and the transmission's got big lines, and an oil cooler on one side and a transmission cooler on the other. So if it was a Duramax diesel, I'd have had one in that day. If it was a 6-liter truck, I'd have had one that day. So I was afoot for a few days, and every place was out, even the GM dealer. GM dealer wanted $980. Advanced Auto wanted $1,260, but they couldn't guarantee when it was going to come in. O'Reilly wanted $980 and can't guarantee when it's going to be here. And it went round and round and round. And I went over to my, I got a brother that drinks a lot, you know, and I almost referred to him as my drunk brother, but my mom and dad listen to this sometime, and I don't want them to hear that. But so I went over to one of my brother's house, and he said, "Well, you know, you ought to just epoxy it." And I said, "Huh?"
And he goes, "Like glue it?
Like glue it." He said, "We fix all kinds of plastic over the plant. Get on YouTube." You know, as he's smoking an $8 cigarette, he's telling me, "Just glue it, man." So I go, it's over at my nephew's shop, so it's at the White Trash Garage, they call it. And I go over to the garage and tell my other brother, my little brother that's there, "Hey, help me take this thing apart." And I was searching on YouTube, and these guys epoxy them. So sure enough, we take his truck apart, which is hard because everything's pushed back. Now, the deer didn't quite push it back as far as the Uber driver I hit back in July that didn't have insurance, which is a whole nother story. So It'd been softened up by 2008-19 Malibu last summer, but
did you skewer the Malibu like you did the deer with the
let me tell you, I never told that story on here. I
never heard that story.
I'm driving in a residential section of town, and when I was growing up, it was a very affluent, it was all brick houses built in the late 60s, and when I was a kid, my mom just pined for one of those things on the west side. And when I was a kid, I rode through those streets as on my bicycle because my grandma lived not too far from there. But I was trying to reflect on whether they had no stop signs back then, or they had stop signs and they'd taken them. But I got this big old four-door pickup, but I knock on wood, I drive like an old man most of the time, right? So I just putt around, and I'm putting around up this street, and there's some old people getting out of a handicapped equipped minivan. And I know your brain, I mean, you're the postman, so you see stuff as fast as me, an old cop. And I instinctively went kind of toward the middle of the street and slowed even further down.
Kind of helped them out a little bit.
Yeah, because I don't know what's going on. Is this wheelchair going to get away from them, or what, you know what I mean? What's going on here? So I'm approaching an intersection. Now, I've been on the street a dozen times, and I'm on the main drag. In the perpendicular streets, the cross streets, the stop signs have been replaced with yield signs. And a week or two before, when I was on the street, I was like, dude, why did they go through the expense of all them yield signs on this street? Surely, were they stops before? Or did, you know what I mean? What would cause the city to put all, I mean, just think of a little quiet place that nobody should be driving like a nut on. So I'm putting up there, and these people are getting out of this minivan, and it's the corner house. And about that time, I look up, and there's a Chevy Malibu in front of me. Quack! I hit her. And I spin her out like Jeep. Now, I stop. Now, of course, immediately, my truck starts sounding like a damn machine gun. Because what's happened is it's pushed my radiator support and stuff back in my fan is in the fan shroud. So I shut it off, and this gal has spun a 180. Her tire, her right rear tire, be your passenger side rear tire, is down the street. It's still rolling. I can see it. You know what I mean? Like a bouncing rabbit jumping the curb down the hill. And she's out in the middle of the street, and this, you know, it's cut a complete, it looked like cops, because I hit her right in the right rear tire with my big old tow hooks or whatever, you know? And so I'm sitting there and I'm going, you know, I'm just taking stock, and all of a sudden somebody's at my window tapping on my window. Because I got my air on, and my truck, I shut my key off, but when I turn it forward to check my engine light, my air's blowing still cold. You know how it does. So I put my window down. This old man says, I seen it. She's got a effing yield sign, and she's old. He was getting out of a handicap van. These people drive like nuts, and, you know, he's railing on this old gal. And I said, well, he says, is this drivable? I said, yeah, it ought to be. I started up, and he goes, and it's, shut it down. You got a fan and something. I said, yeah. I said, well, I'm going to go ahead and pull it across the street. So I started back up, and I pulled it across the street in time. So I get out, and this gal is out in the middle of the street with her phone out on speakerphone, like FaceTiming her counsel.
Already
on the interstate immediately. I mean, just that fast. Okay. So just, I say that fast. It was enough time for the wheelchair person to wheel to the end of the sidewalk and the other two people in the handicap van to cross the intersection and come to my truck to make sure I'm okay. Okay. And then the old man was a retired fireman, because he's got a fire you know, one of them fire union hats, International Association of Firefighter hats on or whatever. You know?
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, yeah.
And,
yeah.
And he says, I don't know. He says, did you call somebody? I said, when, of course, in the process of driving across the street, I called the non-emergency number at the police department. Tell them I'm in an accident here. Okay. And of course they check you right off the bat. Is this an emergency? No, if it was an emergency, I'd call 911, lady. Okay. So the old man, I'm on the phone with the police department. When I hang up, he says, I wonder who they're sending. Because, you know, as a retired fireman, he knows everybody, right? Because his boy's a cop. So I jump out, and because the dispatcher says, is everybody okay? I said, I think I'm okay, but let me make sure. So that's when I jump out and look at her. She's got FaceTime going just in time to hear whoever she's FaceTiming say, you tell those effing cops that yield sign's for him. Like broadcast across this intersection, right? You know, cool. Like I'm trying to, cool. I said, are you okay? The police want to know. She goes, yes, I'm okay. And I said, okay. I said, I called the cops. Okay. So I went right back to my truck and jumped right back in. And the guy goes, you understand that? I said, nope, dude, there ain't nothing going to happen at that intersection that I need to be out there on. You know what I mean? Cause now she's pacing out in the street and her pride, hey, this has got a temporary sticker on it. I mean, she just bought it and it's got the little paper sticker. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
It's not even like a paper tag, right? Mm-hmm. And then the front tag is one of them plastic license plates that's the big Chevy dealership here in town. So this baby, I thought it was brand new. It ended up being a couple years old. So, like I said, I jump back in the truck and keep my mouth shut, right? A few minutes later, I don't know how many, not very many. Here come this traffic cop. And there's cops and then there's traffic cops, okay? There's a difference. First thing he does is wheel up there and he drives through the entire intersection, right? He's coming toward me from the front. He gets to the intersection. He makes a right, drives down the block, and comes back up the block like she would have been doing. Does that make sense?
Yeah, kind of recreating it.
Yep, and then he made a right at the yield sign, went down the block, and came up the middle of the street like I would have been. And then he made a right, went down the thing, come back. Anyway, just made a big thing, and then come out there and flipped his lights on. I think he flipped his lights on, asked if he was okay. I said, yes. He made this big figure eight deal, you know what I mean? And then jumped out and asked me for my driver's license proof of insurance. I handed it to him. He walks over and gets her driver's license proof of insurance. And she and her FaceTime partner immediately start in on him. Okay? I mean, immediately. This dude ain't been on that scene. You know, I think it was July. It might have been June, July, August. It was hot. He was, I don't want to stereotype the modern cop, right? I was the two generation ago cop. You know, I was a young guy with flat top haircut and big. This guy is little. He's stout. His head is shaved. And he's got like 1.5 full sleeve. I've been to Ramadi on this sleeve. And I've been to Afghanistan on this sleeve. On his, you know, all this Army, Marine Corps stuff. Just rippling down these big old forearms and biceps and stuff. You know what I mean? So when I see gentlemen look like that, I just shut up because you don't know what the trigger's going to be. Does that make sense? I mean, it could, you know what I mean? I know that sounds terrible to say, dude, but you know what I mean? Because I've told you stories about my World War II grandpa and my Korean grandpa, you know, these guys that just,
trying to be politically correct, but he has little man's disease.
Well, not only little man's, yet I don't want to say necessarily little man's disease, but some of these guys got a lot of, you know what I mean? Some of these
kind
guys.
Of frustration.
Well, I mean, if you've been in a war a couple times, you don't know what the trigger's going to be. The tip, you know, might flash back. But all that's to say is, he's got this gal, the other driver, and the and I want to say counsel, because I can't say legal counsel, because come find out that the gal on the phone wasn't a lawyer. So the gal on the phone is trying to tell the cop what went on. Finally, he's just got to say, hey, ma'am, you just need to, I'm going to deal with the driver here. If you want, you're supposed to come and get her. Yeah. Well, you need to come and get her, but it's none of your business. And then the driver was like, no, 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 it is her business, because she's my best friend and she was a criminal justice major and she knows what's going on. So, dude, I'm telling you, this cop. So then she showed up. This other gal showed up and he's trying to take some measurements. He's trying to draw a little bit. And he come over and he asked me, he said, did you stop? I said, no. She says the only reason why she went across the intersection is she thought you were stopping at the curb. And I said, you know, I was driving very slow and I seen all these old people, these two old people by this shade tree and that wheelchair person getting out of the van. So I got in the middle of the street and I slowed, I slowed down to a crawl because I was worried about, you know, the geriatric machine there. It could have been the president, could have been the new president, you know, thing for all I know. Right. So I roll up there and so now she has, because what he's showed her, that there's a yield sign. He did not believe her when she said the yield signs were for me, because they're not facing me, they're facing her. Then she went to, she thought I was going to stop because I was driving so slow. And then she went to, she didn't see the yield signs because the tree branches were hanging down, because some of these older houses got these giant shade trees, right?
Yeah.
So she, it was three strikes and you're out, lady. So tow truck comes to haul my pickup away once again, right? Or the first time. And I get a call. I get her insurance information.
She's a homebody, barely got friends.
And when I go to make a claim, of course, they act, you know, they won't talk to you until they get the police report, right? Now, of course, they tell me, we'll just turn it on your insurance. Well, I just got liability because I'm driving a 20-year-old pickup, right? And I got teenagers. I don't pay for full coverage on that thing. So, get a copy of the police report. Her insurance company, for three times, I've talked to them over a span of about 10 or 12 days, they basically told me, hey, she was driving for, I think it was actually Uber Eats. She wasn't supposed to, the first two times I said, hey, you take it up with your insurance. I said, I just got liability. Well, sucks to be you. And the third time they said, hey, this is the deal. She doesn't have coverage because she was using her job, her car for work, for Uber Eats. And we don't have to cover her because she's using that car for work. And I said, okay. So I had it towed over my nephew's, the white trash garage. And we beat it out, and I took the lower fan shroud out because I wasn't going to get nothing out of this mess. And I fixed it the best I could, and I was driving it. And about a week, you know, 3 weeks after the class, they called me and said, hey, sorry, take it to get a, we're going to have to pay for your truck. Take it to get a estimate. I tried to get an estimate. It's been a little body shop, middle of COVID. No body shops would write me an estimate because, they would say, well, just give us your insurance estimate. And I said, well, the insurance won't come and send an adjuster out because of COVID. They want to go off yours. You know, it just goes on and on. I had to take about 15, 20 pictures with my phone and send it to these people. And I don't want to say what insurance company it was, because one of these days I might have sponsors. But this insurance company finally, they wrote me this estimate from 700 miles away. And said, we're going to pay you this. Will you take it? And I said, yeah. What am I going to do? Yeah. I'm driving the truck, for Christ's sake, you know? And so when me and my brother fast forward to this deer, kind of the same deal. The tow truck guy says, well, you're just going to turn in your insurance? I said, no, I got liability. Tows it to my nephews. My nephew says, well, you're just going to turn in your insurance? No, I just got liability. What's with all these young punks with all these full coverages? So when we start doing an autopsy on it, it's underneath the busted up deer grill. It's sustained a lot of, you know, everything's jacked up a little bit in the radiator support and my front end there's a lot more damage, and these guys that don't realize I hit an Uber person last year kept saying, "My God, how big was this deer?" And I said, "It could have been Bigfoot." I didn't stop. You know, I don't even know where I was going with that. Hey, so to end the result, I'm going to shorten it up because I know you guys are tired of listening to me ramble on. I get on YouTube in between my brother's cigarettes and telling me his world. And sure enough, these guys are epoxying these radiators. So I take the radiator out. I buy this JB Weld radiator repair kit and an extra thing of silicone or two-part epoxy. It's cracked down there where the in the lower left side, right where the drain cock is. I fix it with the radiator repair kit. Then I take the drain cock out and I fill the inside with two-part epoxy and I let it set overnight. Well, the next morning I get an alert that says, because I went to Rock Auto and looked at all these radiators, the generic, the aftermarket, not the $1,000 GM, but the $400 China Mark one was in. Do you want it? So I thought, I better buy that in case, because it's going to take 8 days to get here. I better go ahead and buy it in case this epoxy doesn't work right. You know, there's no way $12 worth of epoxy is going to fix an $800 radiator. And I epoxied it, and you know that brand new radiator is riding around in the back seat, and it still ain't started leaking yet.
Unbelievable.
So now I thought, well, maybe I should send the $400 generic radiator back, but then I got to pay $60 in shipping. And, if I got the only one, what happens if this thing cracks next week after I send the old one back, the new one back? So that's my world. You know, people think when you're famous, like me and you, that it's all roses and sunshine, and it ain't some days. You know what I mean?
Well, before we jump off here, I'll tell you the last time I hit a deer that caused damage.
Uh-huh.
I was, it's been a long time ago, because I was working on our farm. So I'm out there, it's harvest time, it's Friday night, and I don't see very well at dusk, okay? My eyesight's failing. And I'm driving back to the farm in one of the farm pickup trucks. And this deer, I mean, I'm not even 30 yards from pulling in the barnyard. That's how close I am to just being scot-free. And this deer runs out. And of course, I can't see it. Because I'm heading west, there's whatever sun's there is in my eyes. And so I just plaster it. And I pull into the driveway. And my stepdad, who's a great, great dude, great sense of humor, he comes, he's in the tractor out in the field. So I got to call him on the FM. Back, this is how long ago we were using FM radios. We hadn't even started using cell phones.
Right.
I said, I'm here in the driveway. I said, I just hit a deer. So he's like, oh, my God. He goes, well, call the sheriff. He goes, because I'm going to have to
do a report.
So the sheriff gets there. And, of course, you know, everybody knows the sheriff and stuff because we're out in the country and whatever. And the sheriff gets on the FM, the deputy. And tells him, you know, hey, I'm here. I'm filing a report. And my stepdad comes back over the FM radio and says, well, he goes, you might want to just go ahead and throw Shane in the back and take him to jail before his mom finds out that he hit the deer because she's probably going to kill him. And I'm a grown man.
Well,
it's embarrassing to me that my mom's going to
kill you over this.
Gonna kill me over an old one of the old farm trucks.
Well, she's like most women. She's worried about every dollar, ain't she? You know, worried about every dollar. You know,
embarrassed of her son.
Well, I was gonna say that just dates you anymore. They don't even send the cops out for a car deer wreck. There's so many of them around here.
I know. Yeah, they don't even send them out. That ain't the only thing that dates me. But whatever, you know.
Yeah. Sometimes you're the deer and sometimes you're the windshield or the grill. Right? And what they say?
Something like that.
Bug or deer, one or the other. You know what I'm talking about.
Thank you for tuning in to this week's episode of the From the Shadows podcast. Until next time, never shy away from the darkness or what may be lurking in the shadows. We are out.
If you own a vehicle with less than 200,000 miles and have an auto warranty about to expire or no warranty coverage at all, listen up. CarShield has a low-cost, month-to-month vehicle protection plan that covers more parts than ever. Visit carshield.com/audio to find out how you could pay almost nothing for covered auto repairs. Drivers who activate this vehicle protection today will also receive free roadside assistance, free towing, and car rental options at no additional cost. Get your free quote today at carshield.com/audio. That's carshield.com/audio.